was waiting on Vicky, and she's in there playing with the kids.
Like, no, I'm
the
fourth.
You're something I can do.
Yeah.
And
Miss Rose
found. So once again, let me thank Vicky for hosting us to gather together. We appreciate you opening your home and bringing us together.
My pleasure. It's nice to have people in the home. Always nice.
So we kind of got into September and got into a routine. So what's the Lord doing in y'all's life?
Sending us here.
Sir?
Sending us here.
Okay, good. What's troubling you today? What do we need to talk about today? Everybody good? No troubles? No sorrows? No concerns?
One thing we were discussing, not a little fellowship with Tommy and Mickey and Adam and Shai, is the Lord's really working in marriages big time right now. And more so just the man rolling in the benefit of his wife and lack thereof. Like he's really, well, specifically myself, putting me through a lot, teaching me a lot, showing me what all I need to die to be better for her.
Others?
And on the other end of that, positioning, coming into alignment, and just as June was saying, you know, where it's a heart thing, not a head thing.
I've got a comment, and it never came truer than the last couple of weeks, that in order for Jerry to walk in authority and it make a difference in me, I've got to receive it.
Yes.
I mean, he can walk, until I receive it, it won't affect me. Otherwise, it's just head knowledge and it's obedience to head knowledge. But you've got to see it. You've got to really see it. And once you see it, it's easy to receive it. And then that's the empowerment for our husbands. And God just pours through them those things that are needed.
Certainly, marriage is the first relationship where that comes true. But even in all power and authority that comes from on high is that way. God can grant somebody authority, wisdom, understanding, revelation, whatever. But it's kind of like an electrical current. It's just sitting there in the wall plug until something plugs into it to take it. So it comes from the throne of God through that person into the person who receives it. And it'll be true in marriage, but it'll also be true in other relationships as you receive one another. When you recognize the grace in somebody and you receive it, you get the full benefit of it.
That's right.
We say in Scripture, receive a prophet as a prophet, and you'll receive a prophet's gift. What they're saying is, when you receive one another in that grace, you get the maximum benefit of it. Because it can't happen until somebody, you can't lord it over them. Jerry can't lord over you and
That's
make this
right.
thing work. You have to receive it to make it be obeyed.
Yeah, she was sick and I was praying, you know, kept praying for her, but, you know, it wasn't going anywhere until she received me as
source.
Authority.
Yeah.
Authority in this area. You know, we think when we're sick, we do this, we do that, and we get well. Well, I didn't get well until, and I know this was the Lord's way of me seeing what I needed to see. I couldn't heal myself, and He wasn't healing me until I saw He had the authority. And when I saw that, I let go. I said, Jerry, it's up to you. And once that took place, within 2 hours, that sickness left me.
But very true and very demonstrative in your life. We saw her. June was really sick.
Yeah.
I mean, she was really, really sick until she received that thing. What else is going on?
Well, on that note, this may sound really simple, you know, but when the Lord starts showing you things like that, you had brought out one of the meetings, maybe 4 or 5 ago, and you were just talking about how all women had been, in the mind of God, had God removed all women from that man during that time. And it came to me that just this week, as I was thinking about, we have this stereotyping, and I've been guilty of it, of saying, oh, he's just a man. And you know, you agree with other women, and you look at them, you say, you just know that they're doing that because they're mean. Well, the Holy Spirit's been talking to me, and he says, well, if I removed you from that man, why would you expect that man to have part of him that I put in you? And so it was very humbling. It was a very humbling thing. And I said, Lord, I repent. I've never looked at it that way. And, you know, when we stereotype, and someone else brought this up about teenagers a couple of meetings ago, when we stereotype each other and put each other in a category, then we stay stuck in that thinking until we allow the Holy Spirit to give us his thinking about that. And when he says, well, why would they? So we can't be arrogant about it. In fact, we'll be better as that completer when we recognize that's why we're there. And I couldn't be who we are without all of God's put in him. So it's a process of truth that God's bringing to me that I'm grateful for.
Well, that declaration of he's just a man, or she's just acting like a woman, or they're just acting like a teenager. I mean, we have to understand the power of those declarations. We had to repent as a family for saying things over Elizabeth concerning who she acted like, because we were getting exactly what we were declaring. And we had to change and repent from that. And we've done it even from when she was in the womb. I had done it from when she was in the womb. But we had to repent from it. Because you get what you declare. You get what you expect. And that's what it will manifest into. So my question is this. Why is God showing this to us now? Why is he pressing on marriage? Why is he pressing on us seeing one another and receiving one another as we should? What's his point in making an issue of this?
Bringing us into alignment to reveal the sons of God. That's what's been working in my mind about. That we're in a time where the sons of God are being revealed.
And why do they need to be revealed?
I don't know, because Romans 8.
Everything's falling apart around us. It's time for us to become one.
And when do we become one?
When we're all in our right place in the body, representing him in our spirit.
Well, and what's the purpose of us becoming one?
To be all of him and all of us.
Well, he said Jesus prayed it specifically. May they be one like we are one, so that the world might know that you sent me. God's wanting to reveal Jesus said that the gospel, or the good news of the kingdom, must be proclaimed to every nation. We translated it as kingdom. A better translation would be the good news of God's sovereignty needs to be proclaimed to every nation, and then the end will come. That's what he's wanting to put on display here. The smallest building block in the body of Christ, the house of God, the army of the Lord, the mountain of the Lord, whatever description you want to use, the smallest building block of, in it is when these two parts that were one come back together as one in marriage. And that starts the process. So Jack and Angie can't be all that God created them to be until they're one. But more than that, they can't be all that they're supposed to be until Nancy and I are all that we're supposed to be, because we're going to come together there and we'll empower them, or we'll complement what they are. And so God is pressing on this for a reason. Has been, Nancy and I say, for 17 years at least. Ever since we've lived in Lubbock, it appeared to us that God has had his thumb on marriage, in bringing forth, not just in refining us as men or refining us as women, but refining us as a corporate man. Now, there's a reason why the corporate man needs to come forth, and that's what I'm asking. Why do you think God is pressing so hard today on trying to get us to be one?
Because as everything falls apart, they have to have someone to go to.
Because?
So they can be reconciled.
Because?
So we can reign.
Why do we reign?
So that Jesus can be revealed to her. Isn't that what you said?
And what's that for? What I'm trying to get you to is the fact that you're one day closer than you were yesterday to the end of everything. You know, we all think about this, how it affects us. I want to find me a place in the kingdom to avoid hell. That's not a good reason. In the kingdom is in the presence of the Lord. I shouldn't want to be in the presence of the Lord just to avoid hell. I should want to be with my Father. My love for God should be my motivation, not my comfort. But we've always proclaimed a gospel of save yourself first. Don't worry about anybody else. Get yourself. What's going to happen? Do you know where you're going to go if you die tonight? The whole gospel was a very self-centered, save me a place in heaven thing. But it wasn't, I never took into consideration, or that gospel doesn't take into consideration, what are the purposes of God? I mean, why should God want to save us in the first place? We've been such trouble to Him. What's His motivation to want to save us? Why did He do that before He created us? I mean, He slayed the lamb before He even created man. What was His motivation to want to have us as sons? What's His motivation for wanting to have a corporate man, the body of Christ, revealed in the earth? What motivates His heart? Is it just our comfort? I don't think so. I think it's a reflection of Him. And because we are one day closer than we were yesterday, and I really thought Angie would bring this up, and she didn't. How many of you have seen the astronomy news concerning next Friday, Saturday, Sunday? Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Anybody else know about 9/23?
I heard the news clip. Prediction of the end?
It is, the astronomers are saying that it is the depiction of Revelation 12, the appearing of the great sign. And there will appear in the sky a great sign with a woman in travail who will give birth to the man child, who has the sun at her head and the moon at her feet and 12 stars in her crown. The planet Jupiter, which is the king planet, will exit the womb of Virgo next Saturday night.
After 42 months.
Yeah, after 40.
I mean weeks.
Weeks. And uh, some say, I can't verify that. I'm not enough of an astronomer to know. Some say this has not happened since Eve gave birth to Cain and Abel. It was the last time this sign appeared in the heavens. Ironically, it's 1260 days since the last blood moon, which is 3.5 years, which is about 48 months since we were told to go into our rooms and remain until God's wrath passes. Now, there's a lot of hubbub in Christian prophecy and things like that about this being the rapture, the end of time, the final thing, and all of that. So I thought we'd talk a little bit about Revelation today, so that we would not walk in fear. We are not children of darkness. The coming of Jesus will not come on us like a thief in the night. Scripture says clearly, we'll know the day, the time. We'll know what's going on. It will be as it was in the days of Noah. So you guys will know. So it will not come on you with any fear. But I'm going to propose some things to you to consider that may change how we've always looked at Revelations. Thank you, sir. You know how in Genesis 1 and 2, we hear the same thing told two different ways? Genesis 1 is about creation. Genesis 2 is about creation. They both talk about creation. Both talk about the first 7 days, but they come at them from a little bit different look at it. And I've always been guilty, and I think many people have been guilty. When we're reading Revelations, we want to take that and we want everything to lay out logically and be able to put it linearly, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But that's not the way that book is written. First off, we have to understand that it's written from looking back on it, is the first thing we have to take into consideration. But secondly, there are at least two depictions of the same time frame. Revelations 4 through 11 tells the story of the Great Tribulation. Now, in my understanding, there are two tribulations. There is the tribulation, which is 3.5 years, where the man of lawlessness is unrestrained. And then there's 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, which is God's response to what Satan or the man of lawlessness has done during that time. So you have Revelation 4 through 11, which is one depiction of the Great Tribulation. And then you have Revelation 12 through 19, which is another depiction of the Great Tribulation. And then you have Revelation 20, which depicts the thousand-year reign and the great white throne judgment where the dead are judged. So you have those three things going on. You begin before that with the letter to the churches, where God lays out his difficulty with how we've been acting. Then you get into these tribulations. One of the things I would encourage you to consider, as I've said many times, the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, the great deceiver, the father of all lies, all of those things, is not one thing. It's a corporate body, just like the body of Christ is a corporate body. The Antichrist is the assembling of everything that is a counterfeit to what God is. Babylon, in Revelation, the city of Babylon, is not a specific place. The city of Babylon is every deception, the accumulation of every deception that has ever been played on mankind that caused us to be self-centered, to be self-providing, distance from God. Every form of fear, every form of greed, every form of self-sufficiency, all of this is what is depicted in that. The original Tower of Babel was God, was man's goal to show God what I could do on my own. And that's why he came in with that's why we call it the Tower of Babel, because he came in and disrupted man. But Babylon in Revelation is not a city. I remember when 9/11 happened, two days after 9/11 happened, all the great prophets came out and said, this is Revelation 21, or 20, whatever it was, that New York City was Babylon. That Babylon is a metaphorical description, just like the mountain of the Lord represents the ways of God. Babylon represents the ways of the Antichrist. And it is a cumulative of everything, every deception that Satan has ever played on mankind has brought us to this culture. When we talk about, Scripture says clearly that we have been sealed with a mark of the Holy Spirit on us. Can y'all see that? Do you see it on each other? How do you see it?
Looking at them in the spirit. Yeah.
Yeah, but you see it by how they act. You see the reflection of the character of God in one another, and that is the mark of the Holy Spirit. So what's the mark of the beast? Exactly. Seeing the world in it. 2 Timothy 3, 1. Here describes, from my point of view, describes the mark of the beast. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will become lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revelers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they deny its power. That is, it's not 666, it's not a microchip in my wrist. That's not what the mark of the beast is. My character will either mark me as a son of God or a son of Satan. And for those who carry the mark, we know what their destiny is. For those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we know what their destiny is. But the mark, it's not that if you go get a chip in order to buy and sell, that you've taken on the mark of the beast. The idea is that commerce has become our God. That buying and selling, that the accumulation of wealth, that greed, that all of those things is my character. Not just the simple thing that I'm buying and selling. It's what I have committed adultery with that woman, Babylon, is what it's talking about. So when we read Revelation, if we think of it more in a global term, and can see this, the chasm between righteousness and wickedness, between the mountain of the Lord and, if you will, Babylon. If you'll start seeing that as God and Satan, as man reconciled to God and man in agreement with the world, I think Revelation will begin to make a little more sense to you. But I would assume that this week we're going to have a lot of, if you're subscribed to Christian prophecy thing, you're going to have a lot of talk about what's happening next Saturday night. But the scripture's clear. It goes through that and it talks about this great sign in the sky, and it says, this sign was, you know, we know clearly that from Genesis that God gave us signs in the heavens to mark times and dates and things like that. So it's serious in that sense. But even if this is, and I'm not sure whether it is, it appears that this is the perfect alignment. I don't know. Because like I said, I'm not enough of an astronomer to understand this. But if it is the perfect alignment, if this is the great sign in the sky, Scripture says clearly, this is the beginning of these things. It's not the end. It's the beginning. Now when Angie first sent this to me a couple of months ago, I think, as I watched some of the videos and began to study this, what I came to the realization is, if this thing marks something, if this is the great sign in heaven and it's marking something, I would submit to you that it's marking the beginning of the great tribulation. And we have been in tribulation for 3.5 years. That you remember when the declaration was made that of the removal of the restrainer and for us to go into our rooms? That was when the man of lawlessness was fully released. And that corporate system has been going crazy. I mean, think back over the last 3.5 years. Go back to April of 14 until now and look at what's happened in the world and in your life and in others' lives. Just the total chaos that Karen was talking about the world crying out for the sons of God to be revealed. We've always thought, well, first, we've begun with this thing, oh, that's going to happen way out yonder. Nobody ever thinks about living to see the end of time. I've told some people this. There's been times that, 3 different times for each of us, 3 different locations, 3 different people, we weren't even together, when someone would prophesy that Sam and I would live to see the things we've talked about. Well, in my mind, I've always had the sense that our grandchildren were the last generation, so I assumed 70 years for them. And I'm thinking, I gotta live to 130. Never dreamed that maybe they don't get 70. They just represent the last generation, and they don't get the 70. That this thing could actually happen within my 70, or 80, or however long the Lord wants to number my day. It never dawned on me that this thing could be a lot closer than what it was. But after watching these things and looking at it, the alignment of the blood moons and the marking of the Feast of Trumpets, I believe, the Feast of Trumpets are next Thursday and Friday, which is the last feast. And then this the birth of this man-child. It would make sense to me, for whatever that's worth. I know it's not biblical or godly, but it makes sense to me that the man of lawlessness has had his way with us for 3.5 years, and that God is going to begin to answer it in the next 3.5. Now, we don't have to fear. We are in the house of God. Blood is on the doorpost. We're safe and good. And we'll observe this thing, but it won't touch us. Sam often says, ask the question, where was the nation of Israel when the plagues were let loose in Egypt? Well, they were all right there. And it didn't touch them, because that's why they had put the blood of the Lamb over their doorpost. That's how the angels knew what house not to touch. In our house, we're not going to be touched. And I've often thought that the Great Tribulation would be 3.5 years of just horrible times. But today the Lord showed me that's not true. Let me go to Revelation, I think it's in 18. Revelation 18:8. We're talking about Babylon. This counterfeit body, this accumulation of wickedness that has been deposited in mankind that we have turned and worshiped, turned and adored, we have committed adulteries with. And adultery is not a sexual sin, because Scripture talks about adultery and sexual sin. Adultery is when you put your heart, the heart that was intended for God is given to something else. When we become workaholics, greedy or whatever it is, our admiration, our adoration is going towards something other than God. That's adultery. It's not a physical sexual sin like we often put it to be. But this Revelation 18 is talking about Babylon. And in 8 it says, for this reason, in one day, her plagues will come. Pestilence, mourning, and famine, and she will be burned up with fire for the Lord God who judges her strong. Goes on in 10 and says, for in one hour your judgment has come. I've never had seen that before in Scripture, but I'm testing these things of the Lord, and I'm anticipating 3.5 years of misery. I think there's going to be 3.5 years of stuff going on, but those 7 cups happen in one day, virtually 1 hour. There's 3.5 years of God's intense pressure of the mountain of the Lord rising up, the wickedness of the world getting more, because God's desire is that none should perish. He's giving mankind as long as he can to repent and come to the mountain of the Lord. And in one day and in 1 hour, he'll pour out those 7 bowls of wrath on her, the counterfeit. We'll observe it from the mountain of the Lord, but it'll be poured out on her. And then the Lord will return and we will begin the 1,000-year reign at that point. But we've been taught and we've thought about the book of Revelation and the end of time all wrong. It's been a fear-based teaching. It's always been that. But you are children of God. You're children of the light. And these things were given to... We all say nobody knows the day, the time, the hour, all that. It's going to come on you like a thief in the night. It's clearly not true. Scripture says that's for the children of darkness. It's not for us. If the last days are as the days of Noah, we'll have a week. God said to Noah, go in the ark, and in 7 days I'm going to close the door. But even beyond that, Jesus himself said, no one knows, not man, not the angels, not even the Son of Man. No one knows but God. But if you go to Revelation 1, it is described as the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him, which he gave to an angel to give to his servant John. So God gave it to the Son of Man. The Son of Man gave it to the angels, and the angels gave it to man. So when Jesus said that it was true, 90 years after crucifixion, it no longer was true because things had changed. God had given it to him. So we should not be fearful. We should not... fear should in no way motivate us. But what should motivate us is what God is trying to do with our character. What y'all began talking about, these things that are important. That thing I was describing of, get me a seat in heaven so I don't suffer. That's me-centered. Everything about that is self-centered. There are two great characteristics of the great deceiver, the father of all lies, that old evil serpent, Satan, Babylon, and the man of lawlessness. Those are all descriptions for this thing I'm talking about, this corporate Antichrist. Just like we are the mountain of the Lord, the army of the Lord, the body of Christ, the sons of God, the house of God, we have all of our metaphors. Two of the things that are common to them is, number one, how does this affect me? Satan's rebellion against God began with, I don't like his decision and how it affected me. I want to be like God, and I didn't like it. And so that was the beginning. I'm going to give you 3 of his deception. The next one is performance. Satan's whole determination why he should be the Son of God was because of his proximity to God and what he was doing. He was the lead worshiper in closest proximity to God. And so he thought based on what he did, on his performance, he deserved to be made acceptable. So we will become self-centered, worry about how things affect us, and we'll want our performance to justify us. The next thing, and one of the reasons you ladies have been going through this, we touched it earlier this year in some of our other teachings, is the counterfeit order to the house of God is the matriarchal order. Now, once again, when I say patriarchal order, I'm talking about an order where everyone has a heart of a father. It's not a male-dominant society. It's the heart of a father society, where the counterfeit that came out of the pagan worship of the Gentiles was this matriarchal order, which it's counter to what's going on. So if during this 3.5 years, what I'm assuming will be happening to us is we're going to have this intense pressure to perfect our character. If you remember, the goal we're looking for is the exact representation of our Father in heaven. Hebrews says that the huios, the fully matured Son of God, is the exact representation of His Father in heaven. And so that's what we're going to be pushed to. God wants sons who He can trust with anything. Set them in any place with the absolute assurance that they will handle it exactly like Him. Don't be surprised when terms like me, mine, I start getting bitter in their mouth. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives within me. The self-centeredness that is resident in our relationship with God, He's going to press out of us. You'll not do anything for your own benefit. You'll trust. One of my testimonies says, when I began learning about righteous rule, I was able to focus my prayer life on Nancy and the kids and the employees at the shop, and I didn't have to worry about me, because Jesus Christ was sitting at the right hand of God the Father, petitioning Him on my behalf, knowing full well what I needed better than I did. I don't know what's going to happen in the next hour, and He knows what's going to happen forever. I'm going to have Him punch my card, not me. That's the place we're going to have to get to, is where we're totally dependent, because somewhere I read, we're going to only do what we see our Father doing. We're only going to say what we hear our Father saying. My opinion, my thoughts, my needs, all of those, my's, are going to have to leave me. And I'm going to have to live my life for others and be grateful for the privilege of living my life for others. Go.
So how does that tie in with what you prophesied, that this is the year of completely overcoming the enemy? And then also speak to the last part of Revelation 12 of what is being born and the dragon throwing a third of the stars to the earth, that part.
Well, two things here. A third of the stars have been thrown to the earth previously.
Yeah.
But what I think that represents, and if you go on and read Revelation, Satan and his entire cadre, who now have dominion in the second heaven, in the great tribulation they lose it, and they're confined to earth. That's what that throwing to the earth is about. Right now they're free to move. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but rulers, powers, and authorities of this dark world, and spiritual forces of evil of the heavenly realm. That's of the second heaven. Satan was given dominion over the second heavens. He loses it in the great tribulation, and he's bound to the earth. So I think that's what happened. Completely overcoming the evil one. If I completely overcome the evil one, there can be none of his mark in me. I cannot be self-centered in any way. There's nothing that looks like Satan in me. No more performance, no more preference for self, no more trying to earn my way to God. I'm going to trust in my Father in heaven and the sacrifice that He provided for me, and my characteristics are going to look like Him, not like Satan.
Okay.
That's how we overcome the evil one. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver out of me anything that could be tempted by Satan that would look like him, that I would be attracted to him. And Satan went to Jesus and he could find nothing in him. That's what it is to overcome the evil one, to be delivered from evil. So any residue of anything that doesn't look like my Father in heaven has to be removed from me. For us, I think that's what this next 3.5 years is like. If this sign that's coming next week is the great sign in the sky, I think what we will experience, and I don't say this out of fear, I'm just telling you, take yourself more serious. Be serious about the things of God, but understand that God, just as he's been pressing on these different things we've talked about, he's going to press more intently on our character to make it look more like him.
So you're saying that 3.5 years of misery are coming up, or we just got through with it? Because my last 3.5 were pretty dang miserable.
Yeah. The last 3.5 have been... The last 3.5 have been the tribulation. That's when the man of lawlessness was free to have his way. And yeah, it's been tough on all of us. The next 3.5 are the great tribulation. That's God's response to what was going on. So you're gonna see, likely to see more calamity to the world and more of the mountain of the Lord rising up. This chasm's going to get wider and wider between what the sons of God and the sons of Satan look like. They're going to be
you're
a bigger...
You're calling that his wrath, and you're calling that his wrath and not what? His judgment?
You said he does not judge until the end of the 1,000-year reign. There is no judgment. His wrath is those 7 bowls that happen in that one day. These are just natural circumstances that are going to happen. Hurricanes, earthquakes, you know, famines, things like that are going to begin to happen. Those things will be going on. But in that one day, when he's done, when it's over, no, I've given Babylon every opportunity to change her ways, and she will not. In one day, in 1 hour, he'll pour out those 7 bowls of wrath.
And that's at the end of the Great Tribulation?
That's at the end of the Great Tribulation. And then Jesus will appear. We will join, if we're still alive, we'll join those who came with him in the sky, and then we'll come down to the earth and reign for 1,000 years with no deception by Satan. So we'll have 1,000 years of no chaos. The Cosmo Creator will be bound in the abyss. Cosmo Creator being Satan will be bound in the abyss for 1,000 years. So we'll have 1,000 years with no chaos.
That sounds good.
That sounds real good to me.
Does that make you feel better, Zach?
Zach, in the 3.5 years that we're going with, it never crossed my mind that we were in the tribulation until I saw this thing and I thought, wow. Because we know when we made that declaration about the man of lawlessness, about the restrainer being removed, all hell broke loose, y'all.
Yeah.
I mean, the man of lawlessness had a free run. And it has been crazy for 3.5 years.
Especially the last year.
Yeah.
And all along, the religious have already said that the Lord is, like, these things have been happening, natural disasters and things, primarily, I guess, have been the Lord judging something. And that's what they've said. You know, whether it's the hurricane and because there's a bunch of gay people in New Orleans or, you know, something else. So I guess they're ahead of themselves a little bit.
What I think you'll see happen in the majority of this next 3.5 years, circumstantially, God will show us how much we need him. And he'll show the world how much they need him. So circumstantially, think, not for you, but for the people of the world, for the sons of the world, circumstantially, things will get more and more difficult in hopes that they'll turn to God. Remember what it says. In the last days, the world will say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and perhaps they'll teach us their ways. Something has to motivate that. I'm pretty sure none of y'all came to the Lord on top of a mountain. You were in the valley, the heel of God was on your neck, and you couldn't breathe, and you finally said, I give. the world has to do that thing too.
But it makes sense because the very first prophecy going into our room was, we're going into our room. And then shortly thereafter, it wasn't that we were going to come out of our room. It's that we were going to be revealed in our room. Then the last prophecy that Sam gave here was that those who have fallen out of this and those that have a little bit they yearn just a little bit for this peace, the kingdom, will come to us. Why would they come to us if we're not the exact representation?
But don't think we've got a pass. Our character still has to be formed into the likeness of God.
Yes.
So basically all the counterfeit systems are going to crumble in this next 3.5 years.
If this is the marking of that, and I'm accurate that we're entering the Great Tribulation, that would be accurate. They're all going to be tested. They'll resist. They're going to resist hard, hard, hard.
Try harder to be more of what they are.
Yeah. And it will appear that they gain strength, I think, even. Mm-hmm. But circumstantially, they'll suffer more and more until finally you come to that day, that hour, when God will judge Babylon. And that's when he pours out around. And remember, don't forget that we were told to go into our rooms until my wrath passes.
Mm-hmm.
We were to be there until the 1,000-year reign.
Not hidden.
Not hidden.
So what does the 1,000-year reign look like after? Like, what's that for?
That's for the perfection of the corporate body.
So more.
More maturing.
Okay.
So that when we get the new heaven and new earth, it is incorruptible. It cannot be corrupted. But it's not going to be different than this one. What makes it incorruptible is the people who are taking care of it will take care of it just like that. So we will have the character of God, and he can give the whole thing to us, and it will not mess it up. Will be beyond temptation.
After the 1,000-year reign.
After the 1,000-year reign.
So that scripture that talks about, and when they say peace and safety, and the UN saying that, is that just one of the world systems that's trying to proclaim themselves even more so that that's where the peace is?
That whole thing, the whole system of government. We know from the 7 heads and 10 horns teachings that one of them is a world government. And the UN represents that, and its goal is to declare peace when there is no peace. I mean, that's its sole purpose. I mean, they sit there every day, and this stuff's going on in Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran, and they're saying peace, peace. It's crazy. It's crazy. And they did it during Vietnam, you know. They've never recognized the turmoil that's in the nation or in the world. But yeah, what Angie's talking about is next Friday is World Peace Day, or Thursday. Yeah, 21st Thursday is World Peace Day at the UN. And they're going to be declaring peace, peace.
Their slogan, their theme this year.
Yeah, every year is a different thing.
Yeah. Their slogan or theme this year is peace and security.
Yeah.
And for like the corporate, like the church, the buildings.
Yeah.
Whenever someone said, I think, that they're going to appear to be stronger. Like, in other words, is the world going to turn to those places and not find answers? Or what's the role of
that?
That.
Well, that is part of the counterfeit right now.
Okay, yeah.
Satan has control of that. That's where we got this thing of save me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that whole thing. In 300, Satan hijacked the believers in God and formed the institutional church. And he's been in charge of it ever since. That's why we have all those pagan events going on. Everything about our churches is based on the paganism that came out of the Gentile world in Rome. So that thing will have to be crushed also. It'll be revealed. But what's going to happen when you can get no peace, when you can get no answer, when your neighbor is coming home from his weekly service or whatever with no peace and you're sitting on the front porch rocking, he'll come and say,
smoking a cigar.
Yeah. And you know, how can you have peace in the midst of it? Looks like you're sleeping in the back of a boat and a storm's going on.
Right.
And that's what he'll, and that's how that thing will get undone.
Okay.
Because you can, God will make all of these things we trust in grow bitter in our mouth. Mm-hmm. They just won't satisfy us. They won't take care of us. And because his motivation is to have that corporate man, to have all of us his son, that none should perish. So he'll do everything he can to woo us into this relationship. And then when he gets us into that relationship, he'll start working on our character. It's the very thing he did with all of us. But yeah, those things are going to, they'll go there and they'll have no peace. Our governments, our militaries, our banks, our money, none of those things will bring us peace. Now, we all know that at one time or another, we've looked at those for our peace. How busy we are, what's our backlog, how many dollars do I have in the bank, how good's my car, what's my profession look like? You know, all of those things have been elements of comfort and peace for us. That's what I'm talking about. It's got to come out of us.
And that all is surrounded by doubt and unbelief.
Exactly. Do I believe God is who he says he is?
Right. And am I really here for his purpose?
I'm grateful for the revealing of the mark of the beast and the mark of the Holy Spirit. I mean, that, you know, when you hear the truth, it sets you free. But I've just never heard that, and it just makes so much sense in my spirit.
Well, what does that verse mean, that even the elite could be deceived, or what does that mean?
If it were possible for the elite to be deceived. God says he's going to cut this time short for the elite. But he said, if it were possible that they might be deceived. It's not really possible. Remember what we said before. Nothing will separate you from the love of God. Not famine, not earthquake. That's not God's love for you. That's your love for him. So it's not possible that you're going to be separated. But God shortens it, the time, for our benefit, because if it were possible, it would be so rough that we would turn back. That's not a declaration of a possibility. It's saying if it were possible. It's not, but he's gonna cut the time short for our benefit.
And so he's basically saying there's just no point in continuing. At this point, everybody's made a decision. One
everybody's
way to this, and everybody's made a decision. This way to this. If I continue this, it's for nobody's benefit.
Right.
So
That's a good answer there, Tommy.
I will say too that God showed me, whenever he first started showing me that stuff about the Revelation 12, a couple of times that he told me not to let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, and the key word there was let. That it's up to me, that I can't let myself be troubled by any of this.
It goes back to what Vicki was saying, our doubt and unbelief, our lack of confidence in who our Father is and what our household looks like, will let fear. Now understand, any form of fear comes from Satan. So it'll let that thing creep in if we don't know who God is and what he's capable of.
Well, if we're always looking at ourselves, then that's always going to happen. But if we're concerning ourselves with the purpose of God, it doesn't matter.
That doesn't matter.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
But this nice little word we use about death of self, that's a real thing, y'all. We have got to rid ourselves of our self-centeredness. I can't wake up in the morning and worry about how this day is going to affect me. I've got to understand what my purpose in God is and go do that. It's not about me. It's about him. It's about me doing what my Father wants done in my sphere. But we tend, because we have been deceived, self is the most important thing. And that is the primary mark of the beast. Satan always worried about self. That's the character. That's the foundation for that mark of the beast, is our character to be self-centered. Because that leads to jealousy, envy, greed, all those other things.
And it also means that you're not serious about the things of God.
Exactly.
I mean, it all is lined right up with that sovereignty, that trust.
Well, self-centeredness is self-adoration.
Right.
It's an adultery against God that I think more of me than I do Him. My motivation to come into the kingdom should be my desire to be close to my Father, not my comfort. My comfort is the fruit of it. But my desire to be with God should be what motivates me to go there. But go back and read Revelations. Look at those things in that way. After the letters to the churches, break it out as a group of 4 to 11. Those seven chapters is one type of description. 12 to 19, those seven chapters, seven not being an odd number, speaking of the same thing again. And then Revelation 20 talks simply about the 1,000-year reign and God's judgment at the end of the 1,000-year reign. View Babylon as an accumulation of wickedness through deception that Satan has played on man in all the times. And when God speaks about what he's doing to Babylon, that's what he's talking about. That's what he's coming against, is the accumulation of the effects of deception.
That's good. I like that. That's a good way of getting order in that Revelation. Thanks for that.
Okay. So as I say, be of good cheer, the world's in it. No. Be of good cheer, it's about to get tough. Do not be surprised, though, of the pressure of God on your character. Because the mountain of the Lord is rising. And it can only rise through your character.
The mountain of the Lord being God's ways.
Being His house, His, you know, everything that reflects His image, being the mountain of the Lord. Corporately, we'll come together more. I think you'll see. I've always, I tell people, I see God pulling the corporate man together like a laundry bag with a drawstring. He just right there, you know, in one fell swoop. So all of this stuff is going to be going on in everybody's character. Then all of a sudden, in a twinkle of an eye, poof, it'll all fall together. Everybody troubles themselves about, we don't look like a body. Well, we don't look like God yet individually, so we can't look like the body. We got to get this thing worked out in marriage, in our individual, in our households, in our clans, in our tribes, before we can be a nation that becomes a kingdom. But that can happen in a hurry too. As we begin to come along in our maturity, that can happen in a hurry. Enough said.
Is this recorded?
Yes, ma'am. I think Tommy recorded it.
As long as the butt got pushed,
yeah. As long as the butt got pushed. I hope I wasn't supposed to push it back. Okay. There's enough puzzled looks out there. I think